Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. It is time to talk to Blair Kirchhoff. Better late than never, Blair. That's what I always say. We've shuttled Blair around 1 o'clock today, talking to Blair Kirchhoff. We're at Coach's. Come on by. It's our annual 810 Cares for KC Food Drive. You know, we're done on the air at 2. We're hanging out here till I'm told to go home, really, Blair, is what is the case. My wife, big fan of the Coach's.
Love the Coach's.
Yeah, my buddy Brian Darby here, fine proprietor, great family guy, great local business. So love being here at Coach's, and I will stay until I'm told to go home.
Well, the deck is my favorite. The deck in the summer.
Beautiful deck. Beautiful.
In the summertime.
Fall. I disagree. Fall. Hmm. Great time out on the deck. Spring, first warm day. You know what you need to do here is when you come in here, and if it's like December and it's like 62 degrees, you know, like one of those like weird days we get now with the global warming and everything, come in and immediately find Brian Darby and say, why isn't the deck open? Because he loves that. He loves
it. I can see where he would
do that. I was talking to him. I come in one time. I'm like, what's going on, man? He goes, you know, just answered everybody's question about why the deck isn't open. You know, we got one day where it's barely warm enough, and I haven't staffed 10 extra people and torn down everything and set the deck open. So, but it's a fantastic deck, and he loves for you to sit out on the deck. But do recognize,
I'll yank his leg. Next time. I have been known to come to Coach's and
not leave.
Go upstairs, and I love that corner table. And wait out people, even though there are other empty tables.
Right.
Wait out people sitting in that corner table that
That's your spot.
Yes, yes.
I think we need to get like the Blair Kirchhoff table put on there. I know restaurants that'll do that for you. So we'll talk to Darby.
Great
I got
place.
Some juice with
you,
the Darby family.
You know what
Brian likes to do too? When you go to like a school event, because his kids go to school with my kids, you go to a school event, he'll text you during an event to see if you left your phone on loud instead of he'd just be like, what's up? Da-da-ding! And then there you are looking like the fool there, like you go into the classroom and the teacher's talking that first day, it's like, oh yeah, this is what we're doing and everything. Supposed to be quiet and all of a sudden your phone's going da-da-ding. Da-da-ding.
And
he'll be like, what's up? Send again. Da-da-ding. God, you gotta get your phone out and you look at it. It's stupid Darby. He's right across the room just giggling because he's sending you a text.
That's
just
a friend. That's a buddy.
Yeah, that's Brian, that's Brian Darby for you. Very subtle. Very subtle is the Darby humor, but very funny. All right, Blair. Of course, Blair brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. As I said, I got sidetracked. We're here for our 810 Cares for KC Food Drive. So come on, bring the canned goods, bring the donations. We've got all kinds of stuff we're giving away, get you signed up for, so come on down here. It's our 810 Cares for Kansas City food drive. You can get your canned goods right across the way at Aldi. Kevin Keatsman's going to be broadcasting over there starting at 2 o'clock. They're right across the street from us, just a stone's throw away on the other side here of 135th Street. And get everything you want. They got great lunch specials here you can take advantage of. Homemade meatloaf with mashed potatoes and gravy, or the Yankee pot roast with new potatoes and carrots, only $8.10. Of course, all their great burgers and sandwiches. And don't forget, they are a fantastic place for the holidays. We do our soccer party here every single session, twice a year, every year. This great room back here, and they can double it in size with the wall. They can, you know, whatever you got, they got you covered. So you got a big family get together you want to have. Coach, this is a great spot. So let them take care of you the way they take care of me and my family right here. 9080 West 135th in Overland Park. It's 135th, and Grandview is the cross street. That's right by the softball complex. After your soccer and softball and baseball, I think a lot of the families know. But if you don't, get over here. Coaches, great, great Kansas City company. Blair, enough loving up Brian Darby. Let's get to the meat of things. Let's start with some basketball. And let's start with a couple of the big gun recruits not playing, the biggest of big guns. Michael Porter Jr., a no-go last go-round. And reports are the Shift Man.
That's
from the Kansas
right,
City
the
Star.
Shift Man. At Shift Man.
At the Shift Man.
Oh, it is. You're right. Man. You're right. I stand corrected.
This is not any Shift Man.
No, that's right.
This is the Shift Man. Big fan of his. Has said that, yes, the reports are out. The word is it didn't go to Utah. So what do we – I mean, it's a distraction right now. When does it become a problem? That's what I would say. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it. If the kid can't go, he can't go. And I got no problem with somebody – looking out for their overall health when they've got tens of millions of dollars sitting 6 months away from here if they just don't get hurt. But when does it become a problem for Missouri? When do you look at it and say, geez, my answer is never. Do you say we don't want the number one overall recruit in the country? But when does it become a problem really for Konzo Martin and trying to put the chemistry of the team together?
Well, it'll be an issue in terms of team chemistry as long as he doesn't play, but on another level, it's a problem in the secrecy of it all. Secrecy is probably not the right word, but just the lack of information. Give us a little diagnosis here, and give us a timeline. 2 to 4 weeks, or with a. And I've actually heard different body parts here. It's hip, it's leg,
it's back. It's back. I heard Steven saying he thought it was maybe lower back, which the hip is connected.
Yeah,
I can see it being down on that. It's glute. Nobody wants to say it's a sore butt. I don't know. I mean, who was it? Somebody's got a pulled glute that was out. I can't remember. Who do we just have this past week? Somebody was out with a pulled glute.
So look, injuries happen.
Danilo Gallinari for my fantasy team. Sorry to interrupt you. Yes, he's got a pain in the ass and has become a pain in the ass for me.
Injuries happen in every sport, of course. But there should be some clarity. I mean, for a player this high profile, for there not to be this, any kind of clarity on what, even where it's located and what it is, I think is a disservice to the fans. And so that's I'm curious. I think everybody who follows Missouri is curious about what exactly the problem is, and just have some definition here, because without it. Now you're left to wonder what's going on. Right. Is there no communication between coaching staff and family, or at least with Konzo Martin and family? And so you just don't.
Well, day to day,
you're left to wonder what's
right.
Happening.
And so day to day, I think the one thing is you're left with, okay, it's not like he's going to be done for the year. We're not fearing that, and so that leads to the speculation. So, I think it's just it's an unfortunate beginning to the season for Missouri. So much great momentum, and that's it. We have no other information. I got nothing else to say.
Well,
I mean, when he can go, he'll go, I guess. And it's up to Konzo Martin and the family to figure out when that time is, and Michael Porter Jr. first and foremost. But we're just going to sit and wonder until the kid plays.
After the Wagner game, Konzo said, "Look, I understand why you're asking questions, but I got 15 other guys here that played, and we can talk about and." Until you talk, nobody is of more interest on your team than this guy, than Michael Porter Jr. So just address it, answer it. Don't evade it. Just provide some information and let everybody kind of move on from it.
Is that his way of saying it's not me, it's the family?
It could be. And certainly he can't say that. He's not going to say that publicly. But yeah, that could be. Maybe he was told, please don't. Disclose any information.
Again, the dollars are so big now. I can't blame someone for looking out for that. So I'm not going to hate on it. I mean, if you give one up for the team, you got to get out there. I mean, this is it. This is why the one and done. I was watching Ben Simmons play last night, and for the Sixers, I'm watching Joel Embiid dominate.
How about that? How about that line?
Yeah, it was 32-17-7 or something like that.
Oh, I thought it was up. I was 46.
That's right. Yes, I'm getting confused with his game before.
Right.
Yeah, just an amazing game. And Lonzo Ball, just nowhere near as good. That was fun for us Laker fans. I was, as a kid, a Dr. J and Sixer fan, a Barkley fan, so maybe I'll just switch allegiances and go be a Sixer fan. I have stuck up for the process, by the way. I agree with the process.
Yeah.
And if that team, although I wasn't down with Markelle Fultz as the pick, but I don't know who it was a bad year to have number one, but man, they get all those pieces together. Watching Ben Simmons Jr. and Joel Embiid out there, that team can go if they're all healthy. But anyway, part of the discussion last night was about the one and done, because you got Lonzo Ball out there as a one and done, Embiid, Simmons, Fultz on the bench. And they're like, Ben Simmons should have been in the league. I mean, there was no reason for him to be toiling around
right
at LSU. And really, that's the same for Michael Porter Jr. And I think that will change one day. But in the meantime, this is what we've got, a six-month way station, 9 month really, because they get there in the summer. I don't like when they say 6 months. Those kids get there in, June and start doing workouts and all that kind of stuff. So they're literally on campus for at least 7 or 8 months.
Right, and I think it's going to change. I think that's going to be one of the...
I do, too. I think it's already done. I think that's why the G League is expanded.
Yeah,
already.
And it's also going to be hastened by the fallout from the FBI investigation.
Yes.
Changes that need to be made in basketball, and one of it is to one of the changes is going to be eliminate the one and done.
Yeah. The NBA does not need to lose prime prospects to jail for taking, you know, shoe money that they're going to give them gladly and legally a few months later.
Right.
So, you know, it is. I do think it's what we watch here is, however long it is, I think every game you learn to play without him, it makes it, I'm not saying that many games to play with and learn to play with them, but it just does lengthen the process. Mm-hmm. You start to get a flow and a comfort, and Kevin Poirier knows where he's coming in and knows he's the scoring guy when he hits the floor, and those dynamics change when Porter Jr. comes back. He is such a talent that it will expedite the process because he has such a high basketball IQ, and not just athletic, but sees the floor, sees the angles. You can see that the way he moves and
yes.
passes the ball.
But the only times that I've seen him play are the Kansas exhibition game
right.
and 2 minutes of the opener. I haven't seen him in other action, and I trust that everything that I've heard about him. But I sure have enjoyed watching other Missouri Tigers.
Yeah, and that's the disappointing part is. Boy, the train's left the station, and it's going, man, and it's going places, and it's getting overshadowed by this because
yep.
there's a lot to like. Tillman was kind of the star early on. Then he doesn't have a big game. No problem. They keep chugging right along, and the depth is there. And what I like is Jontay Porter, I heard, was a guy that maybe even in the Kansas game, wanted to drift outside a little too much, but he's getting it done on the glass.
He sure is.
I mean, that's a real nice play. Bill Self would have loved to have that coming off the bench against Kentucky. Now, we'll get to them in a minute, and they got a great win against the Wildcats. But, that having that kid coming off the bench, and then Poirier is great coming off the bench. I mean, this team, if the point guard position is okay, and I really want to see him up against some stiffer
Cassius
competition.
Robertson.
Yeah, if that's where they're going to go, can he actually play the point like that? I don't know. I don't know that he's the right answer. We'll find out.
We can shoot it. I mean,
that's
where he's comfortable, most comfortable. And does that have an impact if he's playing the point?
And Utah tonight, who's picked in the middle of the pack?
Yeah,
middle of the
pack. Yeah, I noticed. I was reading up on Utah. Probably not an NCAA tournament team.
Right. An NIT team.
Yeah.
And Kyle Kuzma's playing. He played last night too for the Lakers, and they lost a really good one. And Jacob Poeltl, who was did he get in the lottery? He was a first round pick. Two first round picks. Out of Utah, or maybe Poeltl was 2 years ago. Maybe
I think it was 2 years
ago. So they've lost a pretty good talent here over the last couple of years. But this will be their best challenge. And I do wonder about their schedule. You know, do they have enough to really – is this exactly the right schedule to build? I don't know how good Central Florida is. They've had their moments. Green Bay, I'm not sure how good Wisconsin-Green Bay is. Is that the kind of schedule you need to try to work out this point guard position? Because if they end up going to Harris down the road, then I'm not so sure that this is the right way to go. I mean, part of this is you got to have the vision for what you're going to be. And if that means stubbing your toe a little bit, you got to take some Calipari, I'm going to lose some games here, and we're going to have some bad possessions. But these are the guys who are going to be ready to go 30 games from now, and I got to get them there with these 30 games. And so I think it is a decision we're really going to focus on and how he's handling the point guard position.
This was a schedule that was put together with a new coach in mind, but not a new coach who was going to have the fourth best recruiting class, top five recruiting class in the nation. So this was a let's get the new coach and new regime off to as good a start as we can with this non-conference schedule. You know, Illinois built in, and I guess they're in a tournament coming up. I forgot where. Is it Orlando, or they've got one of those 18 tournaments coming up? But it's not a stellar. It's not a great.
Yeah,
field.
It's kind of like you're the star. Come down,
yeah.
Play a couple games.
It was a schedule that was established to try to get a good record going into SEC play, but now. You know, there's going to be a big jump from this non-conference schedule into SEC play. Mm-hmm. SEC looks pretty salty. There are some pretty good teams in this conference. A conference that had, five, six NCAA tournament teams last year, and thinking they're going to have as many, if not more, this year. SEC is a tough place to play now.
We're at Coach's. Love to see you come down here and help out. It's our A10 Cares for KC food drive. We're at Coach's on 135th. Come get some lunch, hang out with the program. We're going to be hanging out into the afternoon, helping to collect your donations here right across the street. Kevin Keatsman's going to be broadcasting live from the Aldi. If you don't have your food, you can just give us a check. We've got all kinds of stuff for you to get hooked up with right here at Coach's at 135th. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sorrent Petro with you, talking to Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 in Santa Fe, online at robertbrogdon.com. It is our A10 Cares for Kansas City food drive. It's going on here at Coach's. Great spot to book all your family dinners, your holiday get-togethers, your end-of-the-season get-togethers. Coach's, such a great, great spot right here in Overland Park, 135th Street, and Grandview, the cross street, 9080 West 135th Street. Blair, let's talk about the Jayhawks. Big, big win against Kentucky. And you and I kind of had, I listened to Hawk Talk last night as well, Brian Haney and Bill Self. Haney, the headliner. Self, kind of the.
That's right.
Yeah, we're big fans of Brian. No, Bill Self talking about it. And listen, I get it. I think he wanted, I don't think he liked maybe the tone or the reaction that people were giving to a great win against the Kentucky team. I think he felt like they didn't get their credit maybe because Kentucky didn't look good in the first two games, so he walked into a no-win situation. Hammer this uber-talented team, or you failed. And so the conversation was, well, and I'm in the middle of it. Well, is this another really good Kansas team that's going to freight train the Big 12? And then when they run into these kind of NBA-talented players that have had 30-plus games to really mature and grow together, And come up short in the Elite Eight again. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's where the program is right now, and that's how you have to look at it, don't you?
You know, I think the spin, post game spin on the game, started in the moments afterward, interviews on the court, and then both coaches in the press conference and players in the press conference. And what I heard Kevin Knox say. Boy, everybody thought we were going to lose this game by 20 or 30, and we fought, and we were right there at the end. And so,
Kentucky with the moral victory. I love it.
How about that?
but that's the way the story read.
Yeah, those gritty underdog Kentucky Wildcats.
Look at this young bunch of up-and-comers right. Against this big ogre Kansas.
The perennial underdog.
Kansas has beaten them 8 times coming into this out of 30
out of
tries.
30.
So, suddenly they're hickory.
Yeah. Kentucky is, yeah.
I'll make it.
Measuring the hoop there at the Chicago, whatever that stadium's called.
That's
now.
Right.
United Center or
right.
Whatever, yeah.
It's 10 feet
still
for them,
10
too.
Feet, yeah. Swinging gate to, you know, pull within two at the half. Yeah.
Yep. Somehow Kentucky stayed with Kansas. And, so the spin happens, and
I did think it was a little much when Calipari said, my team's on the floor. And rolled 4 against him there for about 3 minutes. I thought that was a little much. Just a bit for me.
After he twisted Maria Taylor's arm off at halftime.
Yeah. Saw that too.
One of the great comebacks ever. I'm not one of your players.
I'm not one of your players, coach.
Yeah.
That was funny. So.
So now focus, Kansas, concentrate.
Kansas,
let's go.
Kansas was like a 4.5-point favorite, right? They don't cover. They win by 4.
Yes.
And so what
went
a
to 5 before the game.
What a disastrous outcome for the Jayhawks.
Listen, and trust me, we call it rooting for your prediction. I was there like, can we foul him? Can we get a couple of free throws? I call for the Hawks by double digits. Can I at least get the cover here?
So this is a great example of the perception of the game before tip-off. And the result not meeting a lot of expectations, because I was with you. I thought this was an opportunity, not just because of the Kansas experience, but because what Kentucky had done against Utah Valley and Vermont, a couple of rummies. Vermont's not a rummy. Vermont's a good program. Won 29 games last year. But
from where Kansas and Kentucky and Michigan State and Duke sit, Vermont's a rummy.
Yeah.
And from that rarefied air, Syracuse, Vermont is a poison pill you can't overcome in the NCAA tournament. That's what Vermont is.
Literally, I mean,
the Catamounts literally took us down. Taylor Coppenrath, where are you?
That's right, I forgot that.
Yeah, that was 6'9" white guy shooter, inside out guy or outside in probably. Anyway,
and then Kansas gets off to the good start, right? Built a double digit lead in the first half, and there's Dick Vitale, you know. Doing what Dickie V does, overhyping Kansas, and give Calipari credit.
But that's what we did. Is that what we did? We overhyped Kansas. Are we
based on what? I mean, based on a couple. You know, Kansas's effort against Tennessee State and Kentucky's against their two opponents.
Right. And how
four,
young
Kentucky's
Kentucky
seven.
Is.
I mean, they're two top 10 programs going after each other, and I thought when it was a 1-point game at halftime, I thought Kansas was in trouble. I thought Kansas had dominated, certainly on the boards.
I'm like, you're not beating Kentucky in the second half on the boards. Calipari's going to peel the paint off the walls about how you're...
He made a great point of that at halftime, and they came out and dominated the boards in the second half. And for Kentucky not to win, after being down by one at halftime, dominating physically in the second half, that's got to be a little disappointing to Kentucky.
Yeah, I think this is a game that we will look back. What we think of this game will be determined by what happens after this. You know, and let's remember, KU got completely dominated by Kentucky in 12, was it, in this tournament?
No. In 12, they lost by 10.
And Kentucky went on to win the national championship,
beat
right?
Beat Kansas in the title game.
Yeah, but they got completely dominated. Or I guess
there was like 14. It was the Kelly Oubre team that lost by 32.
Yeah, but they did lose. Did Kansas lost to Kentucky in this in 12, right?
Yes.
And my recollection is they weren't really in the game. Thomas Robinson and Tyshawn Taylor did what they could. But
I think that's right.
You looked at it and you went, that was the night it was the first night of the season. Like, Kentucky's the team to beat.
Yeah,
like,
and in fact, they're no joke. Kansas wasn't either game against Kentucky that year.
Right,
but they just happened to be the first and last games.
But in the championship game, they made a run at it.
They did, and
made them sweat with a minute to go.
Got it to five.
They clearly got better. I think this is one that we'll look back on, and if Kansas freight trains everybody and this is a Final Four team and Kentucky loses in the Sweet 16, which is kind of what they looked like to me, you know, coming into the year and through two games, they look like more now. But I'll still stand by that. I think they had a pretty good go of it in the second half, and I don't think they can shoot very well. And I think Kansas didn't play very well. And that's the best thing, I think, if you're. And I think that's what Bill Self was focusing on last night. He's like, listen, we're 8 for 23 from three, and we beat a team named Kentucky. I totally get what he's saying, but it's not. It seems atypical, not typical. For those who got my fat mouth there, it's not usually how he reacts, right? Doesn't he usually come out of a game like that and be like, oh, if we think we're going to do this and we think we're going to do that? He seems really trying to prop this team up, and I'm trying to figure out why.
The fact that he thought it was important enough to get a message out about the game, I thought that was a little – I hadn't heard that often from Bill that, you know, boy, I don't like what I'm hearing about the, you know, how this game was being framed. Maybe I should say something. Usually that doesn't seem to matter. Those things don't seem to matter to him. So I was a little bit surprised by that. It was a pretty darn good outcome for Kansas. That's go beat Kentucky on a neutral floor, and Kentucky with the top recruiting class, even the all new team. Knox was a heck of a player. How nice would it have been if Missouri had gotten Knox? Missouri was in the you know, in the running for him as well. And one thing I didn't take away from the game was a feeling that this Kentucky team was going to be a Final Four team. It's too raw, and I don't think they're going to be the best team in the SEC. I think Florida's going to be the best, or Texas A&M best in the SEC. So I don't think the issues that Kentucky had that we saw against Kansas are the things that you fix easily. I think Kansas actually has more of a chance to improve as much of a chance.
So you do see a lot more ceiling there still.
Yeah, I do.
Is that because of D'Souza
and Billy Preston? Yes.
Back into the mix?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, certainly,
I agree.
Certainly Billy Preston. And if they can get D'Souza eligible.
Are you like me? I'm hearing like this is a done deal.
I've heard
like they don't think anything's
in the way. I hear they're feeling
the
good about it. They're feeling good about the prospect of D'Souza becoming eligible this semester, which anymore is like mid-December, right? As soon as the first semester ends. So doesn't that change the the front court rotation for Kansas. Less Mitch Lightfoot, more Preston and D'Souza. So that nothing but a plus for Kansas. And Self is right. They played six guys. How many guys played 30-plus minutes for Kansas in that game? And had to have it to win, to beat a good Kentucky team.
Yeah, I kind of struggle with it. I did see the ceiling on Devontae Graham. He doesn't finish at the rim like Frank Mason. He's not gonna
sweep the National Player of the Year award.
Yeah, no, that's not gonna happen. Gonna be a very good player.
He'll be all first team all Big 12, maybe not Big 12 Player of the Year, but he is the guy you want at the free throw line.
Yes.
At the end of the game.
He was money on that, wasn't he? That was great. Malik Newman got it done, too.
And a big three-pointer.
Didn't look quite as good. Yeah.
Big-time three-pointer.
And Malik Newman was clutch. And the one thing I will say is Malik Newman's not a star. I mean, he's not going to be a star. And he's not going to lead this team in scoring, I don't think.
I need to see a few more games from him.
Okay.
He's a really solid athlete. Shot it well if I remember this right, in the Tennessee State game, and hit the big one against Kentucky. Let's see him create.
For Kansas to be everything they want to be, Azubuike needs to be the leading scorer.
Yeah,
on this team.
Look,
they got to feed that beast.
Get more than five shots. He was as impressive as anybody.
And he did take more because he was at the line. He's got to get better on the free throw.
Trust me,
Coach Self sees it. Coach Self is at Bill Snyder. Coach Self says this is how it is. I do take a step back when Coach Self's like, when he bristles at the reaction to the game, I do take a step back and say, okay, what am I missing here?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, he's a big fan of the program. I know he listens to all 4 hours, so I know that was directed at me.
He tapes it when he,
Yes, always listening. Wants to know our reaction, and I felt like I was being chastised last night on Hawk Talk, which is always great. I enjoy listening to it, and it's great to have it here on our airwaves. So I do take a step back and say, okay. And I get it. I get the Preston and the D'Souza part. That will make this team. Then you go, okay, they'll bully ball some people. They got the horses to run with that Duke team you saw
right.
Beforehand.
Maybe play defense at the rim. But,
yes.
Have guys to
be more aggressive on blocking shots because you'll have depth up there. Yeah. I get it. But the concept of this, the guards are what they are. They're good college players. Right, they're overseas players. Devontae Graham, let me see him more. I've always thought he had a shot to be an NBA backup point guard. Is what I've thought a shot, but I'm not all the way there yet.
Right.
When you can't finish at the rim in college against the best of the best, you're not getting anywhere near it in the pros. If you look at Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons is 6'10" as a guard for the Sixers. I mean, you watch those men out there. Battling around, he's not going anywhere near the rim.
No,
in the Sixers and Laker game I watched last night, neither one of those teams are even that good. Okay, so that doesn't mean he can't be first team All American, right? It just means that he doesn't have that next level athleticism or skill because some guys aren't incredible athletes. You just have a skill set that's just unbelievable. He's. I just look at those guys and say, hey, Svi's a good college player. He's still only 20.
Yeah.
Right, that's what's amazing. Billy Preston and him are the same age. Same age. They're both 20. But Svi's a real nice player. I mean, I'd love to have any of these Kansas kids on my team. There's not a Mario Chalmers. There's not a 10-year NBA guy in that backcourt.
No, I guess not. I guess not. I do want to see more of Newman. I want to see more of Malik Newman.
And that's fair. I'm drawing some big conclusions. But I did watch him play at Mississippi State.
I
remember at Mississippi State going, really?
Yeah, yeah. You wondered what
I had a similar reaction to like Avery Bradley. Remember when he was the number one guy?
Yeah.
And he went to Texas and you're like, really? I mean.
And how about he played with Tristan Thompson and that team didn't get out of the second round of the NCAA tournament?
Well, because Tristan Thompson wasn't carrying the bags for LeBron then. He was carrying the bags for Avery Bradley. He looks different when he's carrying LeBron's bags. And the tip is great, $100 million contract for being LeBron's guy. Stunning, preposterous decision by the Cavs, but you sell your soul to LeBron when you do it. Whatever. Sidebar there. But listen, when Bill Self does, and he did bristle, and I'm curious, is he overprotecting this team? Is he trying to build up their confidence? Does he see that they're listening to this? They're like, oh God, maybe we aren't that good. And he sees that they need confidence, and so he's coming in. He's doing the right thing because he's Bill Self, and I haven't seen him do the wrong thing yet. So I'm assuming this is the right thing. I'm just trying to figure out why he's playing it this way, because it isn't how he usually plays it.
It's a good question, and I think part of it was not so much for his team to restore some confidence. I think the team I'm sure it was a happy plane ride home from Chicago.
Sure.
I think it was for the media. I think it was
or
for
the fan base.
The fan
through
base,
the media to get to the fan
yes,
base.
That,
get
listen,
off these guys' ass. This
right.
was a good win.
Yeah, listen, knuckleheads, we don't listen to the Kentucky side of things. You know, we won the game. We gutted it out. We didn't shoot very well.
That's right.
And won the game and beat a seventh-ranked team and top recruiting class in the country. And that's the message that you need to take from this game.
And they're going to wake up, and in the AP poll be number three behind Arizona. Duke, Arizona,
right.
then them. They'll
then
move up in front of Michigan State.
Michigan State will drop to four.
Four, probably. I think those four have kind of elbowed their way in.
And Kansas is in a position to stay there for a long time with its non-conference schedule.
Well, don't you worry about that schedule. It doesn't have the teeth that their schedule usually has.
It's like a lot of things when we talk about schedules.
And then the Big 12 doesn't have the teeth that it
has. No, no. I'm watching West Virginia, Texas A&M last Friday night before the KU game, and West Virginia's up 15 early. And I thought, wow, this West Virginia's going to be good. They lose by 28. Well, that was in Germany to Texas A&M. And man, if West Virginia doesn't fix its problems, then Kansas, this is really going to be a runaway.
Last thing about Bill Self, when he points out, and he did this again in Hawk Talk last night, 8 of 28 from three, and we were able to beat Kentucky. He's acknowledging it's going to be bombs away, at least now, at least until they figure out whatever's going on.
But he didn't like the 23, and he did say something about that after the game, especially with Azubuike going 5 for 5 and them getting the ball to him. He was posting up, and they were able to get the entry pass to him, and he pretty high percentage shot by Azubuike when he brings down the rim on those dunks. So they'll focus on going forward is Azubuike needs to touch the ball more than he did.
Yeah, he does. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the college football playoffs with Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. I-35 in Santa Fe, we're here at Coach's. Come on down. We need your canned goods. My family, we have donated our canned goods. If you don't have time to do a little shopping, you can do that right across the street at Aldi's, who is helping us out. Kevin Keatsman is going to be broadcasting live over at Aldi's. Then just bring us a check. We will take your money. We'll take it right out of your hands. And I got a lot of great things for you to sign up to win, and we're giving away here at Coaches at 135th. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Sorrent Petro with you as we broadcast live at Coaches. It's our 810 Cares for Kansas City food drive. Come on into Coaches. Have yourself some lunch. Hang around. We're going to be chilling here and helping collect your donations here at the Coaches on 135th. So come on by and hang with the program and enjoy some great hospitality, great food, adult beverage or two, Coronas right here at the Coaches at 135th Street, just a little bit to the west of 69 Highway. If you're coming around, we'd love to see you here today, and love to see you help out with the community here at our 810 Cares for Kansas City food drive. Blair, let's talk about the college football playoffs. We were chatting during the break. You like it. You think they got it right up there at the top. They got it right down through how many?
Well, through
however many should still be alive.
Yeah, let's see. To review, Alabama 1, was it Clemson 2, Miami 3, or Miami 2?
Yeah, Alabama, Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma Wisconsin.
Four. Yeah.
Is your top 5, and then Auburn Georgia,
six.
Notre Dame, Ohio State, Penn State, and I'll throw in USC, TCU, Oklahoma State. 11, 12, 13 is USC, TCU, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I do think it's right. You know, one thing I've thought about with the committee, you do a poll, I do one for another organization, and you spend time. I know you've got your legal pads out, and you go through probably more than the average person, average voter does on this, and I spend time on it. And but the committee, when it releases its poll, those are 12 people that are working on one poll.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of the discussion that you and I can have about who should be ranked where. There's 12 people having that discussion.
There's 10 more opinions.
Yes,
being
which I think really validates the
sure,
poll.
Sure, I agree.
And these are good football. I mean, these are people that know the sport too, and know.
But in reality, I will say this: it does and it doesn't. I mean, there's how many first place votes we got in the AP poll? We have 61. There's 61 of us bring in an opinion to come to a consensus in the AP. By the way, the AP goes Alabama, Miami, Oklahoma, Clemson, Wisconsin, Auburn, Georgia.
But the 61 don't talk among each other to come
up. That's true.
Like they do in the poll and the committee.
Have you heard? Is it any more than they just 12 people put their thing in and they average it up just like the AP poll?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that. I have to think though that.
They do discuss it because they get in a room.
Right.
But at the end of the day, does everybody just put in their 12 top 25s and then they come up with a mathematical formula just like you do?
You start it. And then if something bothers you about the outcome, you can switch and change.
This is ridiculous.
But they have to go on ESPN to whoever the committee, Kirby Holcutt, as it is now, goes on TV to defend it and to defend all of their choices.
So one of the things I think that is interesting, you said, they do mathematically and they look at it and say, okay, are we okay with this, guys? And like because I would do this, if I came down and I had Oklahoma State 12 and TCU 13, I make sure that I don't have two teams side by side that have a head to head game.
You're right. With the same record or within a game of each other.
Now listen, if TCU were sitting at 8-1 and Oklahoma State were 7-3, I don't mind letting them sit side by side, and I'll take the heat for saying, how are they in front of us? We won head to head. Well, there's a big process to this, right? But I do think it's interesting that TCU is right in front of Oklahoma State. And I think that is the human element, because I think the math might say Oklahoma State is better than TCU. So I do think that there is a final human review to it. I also think, do you agree with me, that they have set this up where they really have a bracket to where they're kind of taken out of it. It's possible that it's like the NCAA tournament. I listen to the NCAA tournament bracket. Everyone's like, oh, of course Kansas is going to play North Carolina. You can't – the historical programs can't avoid each other.
Right. That's right.
You're going to get great matchups just when you throw them out there. But this does appear, okay, listen, we've got checks and balances here. Clemson and Miami – one of those two is going to be out. So nobody in the Big Ten needs to worry, because if Wisconsin wins, they're going to get in there. If Oklahoma wins, they're going to get in there. Alabama-Auburn is an elimination game.
Right.
With maybe Alabama finding its way back in if somebody else loses. And then Georgia, the
winner. Right.
Is an elimination game. So we go down through there. And really, even Ohio State, I think, is still alive.
It is.
If they can beat Wisconsin in there. And everything else goes to hell in a handbasket.
There are other two lost teams.
Yes, then Ohio State finds their way in there. But they've set it up to where basically it'll take care of themselves, and they've got a nice scenario where it's very, very there's not a lot of complaining to do.
Well, which is really kind of what you want at the end of the day. You want consensus on the right teams in the playoff. I think the committee felt a little burned by the first year when it jumped Ohio State over the Big 12 teams, TCU and Baylor, in that final poll. I remember TCU was third, and Ohio State was fifth or sixth. Ohio State beat Wisconsin 59-0 in the Big Ten title game. And even though TCU beat Iowa State big, TCU got knocked out, got replaced by Ohio State. And even though I think they got it right, I think the right teams played, and obviously Ohio
Buckeyes,
State went on to win the national championship with Ezekiel Elliott and that team, they took a lot of heat for jumping a team that had won by 52 points. So I do think that enters the thinking with the playoff committee is let's get our poll, our ranking here, and then let's kind of play out the scenarios. As you said, yes, putting ACC teams 2 and 3 in this thing is easy to do now, because they're eventually going to play each other. One's going to be eliminated. I think it's smart polling. I think it's a smart way to do their business, and it helps eliminate the complaints at the end of the process.
And there is consistency when Auburn moves in front of Georgia after Auburn solidly defeats Georgia. That's fair. The one thing I will say is Alabama's living on its name, because its resume is not as good as some of these
it
other
really
resumes.
Isn't with the non-conference schedule it played.
Yeah, which is what you get. That's the eye test. I'm fine with Alabama. I had Alabama number one. When they came out and had Georgia number one, I didn't like that.
You kept Alabama number one.
I'm like, listen, what is it here? Is it just resume? Then go to the computers, because the computers will quantify mathematically who's the best team. But if it's eye test, Georgia's got a one-point win at Notre Dame. I question Notre Dame's quarterback play. I think we've been validated now that if they're not coming from behind. If they can run over you, fine. If they can Marty ball you, fine. They're going to be okay. They get behind, they're cooked, and Miami proved that. And so, to me, that's the one thing I think there's a little bit. So if you eye test it, Alabama, and I eye test it plus resume, which is what I think everybody does, but Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. I don't think Miami's one win. Like, they are continuing to take the last data point and I think overly focus on that. Because if Georgia was better than Alabama and they lose to a quality Auburn team, I don't think they should fall to 7. And I don't think Miami, who's 20-19 over Syracuse in the fourth quarter when they're plus 4 or 5 in turnovers at home and then ends up winning, 27-19 or 28-20, whatever it ended up being, I don't think that should get erased. Miami's really only had one really impressive showing. They've been better of late, only got one impressive showing. I think if you're eye-testing it, Miami doesn't deserve to be up there.
Well, maybe not. But I would submit that the win over Virginia Tech was their first of two impressive wins.
Okay,
they handled
true.
Virginia Tech pretty easily.
They did.
And then took care of Notre Dame.
Does Virginia Tech as a data point? Tech
has fallen, certainly. I don't know if they're in the top. I can't remember.
They're not even in the top 25 anymore. No. They're in my top 25. They're not in this one.
Tech was ranked when – I'm pretty sure Tech was ranked when Miami played the Hokies.
So then Florida State was the number two team in the country when Alabama slapped them?
Well.
So they still get credit for that?
You get some credit. Alabama gets more credit for beating Florida State than any other team that beat Florida State because of when it happened and who the quarterback for Florida State was. So, but you make a good point on Alabama, and I've heard that discussed elsewhere. That is Alabama really the best team in the country? And it would have been interesting if somehow Mississippi State would have been able to hang on and beat Alabama. Had the lead in the fourth quarter this past Saturday against the Crimson Tide. How far Alabama would have dropped with a loss to Mississippi State? I think maybe to 4. I think we still would have had Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, and then Alabama as the top 4. But it would have been pretty interesting. And if that had been the case, then you really would have talked about perhaps the SEC not even being in the college football playoff.
It is Oklahoma win out or no Big 12, though, right?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. Unless there are a lot of upsets in the last 3 weeks.
Do you expect Oklahoma? I mean, basically, it's a matter of does TCU get there or does Oklahoma State get there? Well, do you see either one of them getting?
I'll tell you what, having talked to some Oklahoma people.
They'd rather see TCU than Oklahoma State?
Yes, I absolutely
agree.
They do not want to see the Cowboys again.
And that's one of the things I struggle with, because I do think Oklahoma State's better than TCU, which is what
even
we thought preseason.
Even though TCU won by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, the head-to-head. I mean, and maybe it is just the styles make fights, that TCU has the right style to take down Oklahoma State. But Oklahoma State can boat race with OU. And I don't think OU wants any part of it. So I do think OU needs to be a TCU fan at Tech, their last hurdle, and then Baylor at home. And I don't think anybody thinks OU's going to fall between now and the conference championship game. So,
well, and to carry it out further, if you're OU, you don't want to be 4. You want to be 2 or 3 because you don't want to play Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, which is one of the semifinal sites.
You know, I don't know that. I think that's the perception, but I'd rather
play Clemson in the Rose Bowl as if I'm Oklahoma than Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. Although, listen, easier for OU fans to get to New Orleans anyway, so.
Alabama belongs in this top 4. I got them number 1. I got no problem with them being number 1, but I am not sold that this is still, that you can just keep. What do you bring back, 7 or 8 starters?
I think it's the quarterback that'll keep Alabama perhaps from winning the national championship.
I think so as well. I just don't know what we've seen from them that we know, okay, you slapped around Arkansas, come on. I mean, Tennessee, even LSU. LSU's a very flawed team, and they won 24-10.
Right.
Listen, I can see them dragging Oklahoma into some kind of, 23-6 win, right? Turns out their defense is better than I'm giving credit for. But I can also see OU pulling a Clemson over Ohio State type number. Remember last year, it's like, well, Clemson, the Big Ten, here comes Ohio State, and Clemson just dumped them?
Yeah.
I mean, the Buckeyes were no joke. I wouldn't be shocked if Alabama got
Well, last dumped. Time Oklahoma and Alabama played, it was in the Sugar Bowl, and that was the – the God, I forgot the quarterback. Trevor Knight was the MVP of the game, 45-31, something like that. Of course, there was nothing on the line, no national championship on the line. But I'll tell you, Oklahoma will absolutely not be intimidated playing Alabama.
That's true. That's true. Blair, great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good.
All right, Blair Kirkhoff from the Kansas City Star, where it coaches. Come on by. We're hanging out. Have a Corona with us. Bring down some canned goods. We really, really want to give back to the community. We love doing this. We love working with Brian Darby and his staff here at Coaches. They do an unbelievable job. Get your canned goods, get your donations, and get down here to Coaches. And get your canned goods across the street. Kevin Keatsman's going to be broadcasting live at Aldi. So scoop up a ton of canned goods. Drop them off there. Come on over here for a cocktail, for a little dinner tonight. Everybody be happy to see you here at Coaches. Thanks to Brian Darby and all his staff for doing such a fantastic job, as they always do. Don't forget your holiday parties right here. You can have them. Coaches take care of you the way they take care of me, my entire family, and our school and our soccer team. Just love Coaches. So thanks to everybody here. And please, if you don't give to us, give somewhere. It's the holidays. Give back.